Gold star for you.
No, silver.
Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Vanover. This is episode 48, vSphere 5 Upgrades, Thinking Out Loud. Here we go. Today, co-hosting with me again is Simone Bennett. How you doing, Simone?
Well, thank you.
Awesome. I'm glad you were able to co-host with me again. And we're very lucky to have back one of the best resources in Australia, Mr. Paul Woodward. How you doing, Paul?
Very good, Rick. How you going?
I'm happy that you actually said yes to come back, because I must say, Paul, when you were on last time, I really enjoyed your conversation. I still think you have the most underrated blog in virtualization. Yes, it hasn't been updated a while, but I know that it's good stuff. Really glad to have you back. So, Paul, can you tell us, just generally, you've taken on a new role. Maybe give everyone an update so we know what's going on with you now.
Yeah, look, I've taken on a new role, solution architect in data center solutions. Cool. That's with a company called Dimension Data. So at Data Center Solutions, we specialize in storage, virtualization, backup, and compute platforms for a couple of key vendors of ours. And I've been there now 6 months. As always with most new jobs, I've been absolutely flat out, getting up to speed. And it's been a big journey so far, and there's plenty more work and learning to go ahead. So it's been a great first 6 months, and looking forward to the new next year. So.
Sure. That ramp up is that's always a unique experience, isn't it? You know, you're going full speed, you're in like and absorb, you know, learning everything all at once. It's kind of a fun ride, yeah.
Yeah, and we're our team had been through some challenges. There's been quite a big team refresh. We've had some unique challenges in that respect as well. So, it's a matter of building up the team again and getting the right people out there and getting people aware of what's going on in our company. So,
cool. Well, speaking of refresh, glad you brought it up. One administrative note on the podcast. I'm going to be taking a break for the last 2 weeks of the year. Well, not really a break, but at least I'm not going to be releasing any new episodes for the rest of the year. I don't know about you guys, but in the U.S., of course, we have the Christmas holiday, and then there's New Year's, which is the first of the year. We're always given news highlights of Australia celebrating the New Year first, okay? So it's kind of funny.
Why? Because of the time zone.
Well, I know that, but it's like every year that's like on the news, that's my token, visual of New Year's is the big party in the summer down there in Australia. So I'll be thinking of you guys, but I won't have a podcast to back it up. So just so you know. Anyways, all right, so let's jump into it. vSphere 5 upgrades, thinking out loud. When it comes to like upgrading your hypervisor, it's a big decision, and then same goes for the management platform. So what I wanted to do was talk about some of these things, and let's see if we can kind of equip everybody to be a little bit more prepared on their own. First thing I'll just throw out there is lab time, right? If you're going to go through this upgrade, you want to make sure you give a lot of lab time. So I don't know, Paul or Simone, any comments on lab time?
Yeah, well, look, I'd say you've definitely got to, look at the hardware you're using in your environment, and definitely look at the compatibility list. And I wouldn't necessarily take the compatibility list at face value. I'd also always try and run my hardware in a lab with the latest version on it, so that you're actually and then definitely stress test that environment to flush out any potential issues that you could foresee.
So what do you do if you have a small environment, say people just a couple of servers, or they can't take one offline just to try upgrading it? Is this something you suggest so that they can try and test it as best they can?
Yeah, look, I'd say that firstly, if you've got a VMware cluster where you can't take one host offline for maybe even a short period of testing. Potentially you need to add some compute to your clusters. But, it does make it a little more difficult when you've only got a handful of servers and you don't have enough capacity to do an extended labbing environment. But if you can't lab it, then you probably need to spend a fair bit more time making sure your hardware is supported. And it's also possibly something where you might want to delay your upgrades until the release has been out there for a bit longer.
So if you don't use the hardware compatibility list solely, where else can you go for resources to find what hardware is compatible?
Well, I'd say VMware HCL, you should be able to find your hardware on there. If your hardware is not mentioned by VMware, hasn't been tested by VMware, then you're really going back to your vendor who supplied your hardware and looking for clarity on when they're going through the VMware certification.
And, speaking of the hardware and the certification process, the VMware HCL is definitely something to live by. But, I had this in my own personal experience. This was in the, 3 to 4 upgrade, and I think it really applies now, is that sometimes it actually might be a good idea not to upgrade if you have a compute platform or a storage resource, for that matter, that is on the HCL, but it's really in like that last third or of its lifetime. It might be better off to hold on because you don't want to go to a new platform, and you expect the vSphere 4, vSphere 5 platform, whatever, to last a while. But if we're going to turn around and be obsolete on the equipment side just after upgrading, then we might be in a weird situation. Any comments on that, Paul?
Your hardware on the hardware compatibility list. I think if you're in a situation where your hardware is aging and you're not getting your vendor updated and not on a compatible list, then you've really got to look back at that hardware and see whether or not it's time to lifecycle it. Mm-hmm. Without having vendors doing their checks and measures, how do you know you're not going to hit production issues? And in that case, I'd have to say you'd look to put off upgrades.
Yeah. Well, and when it comes to upgrades, one thing that, depending on how we embrace virtualization initially, right, especially in the VI3 world when we may have all kind of had our first, major exposure to virtualization, I think that the upgrades, the updates with VMware are something to think about, right? So we have a lot of patches for the ESXi hosts that we need to be aware of. So I guess as a general tip, definitely don't go to vSphere 5 without kind of, at this point in time, getting all the little hot fixes up to date, because there have been a few of them. They're not tragic, but you definitely want to make sure that you're up to date in that sense. But any comments about doing the updates within the major versions?
So you're talking about updating from 4.1 to 5?
Well,
doing a clean?
Within the 5 series, right? A lot of times people will just get the general availability version, so the GA version of vSphere 5, and then run with it and never update it. But you definitely want to have, the hot fixes and all that within the major version. That's kind of where I'm going with it.
Yeah, look, I think you definitely need to keep your VMware Update Manager pulling down critical patches and, setting up a profile and doing compliance checking against your hosts if you've got that functionality in your vSphere.
Yep.
So I think that's pretty important to keep doing that. And critical patches, especially post, the first month or two of a release, especially important for driver releases.
Yep. Yeah, like Simone was getting on earlier about the small environment, right? It might all just work. One host, maybe two. So a lot of times the perceived need may not be there, but it's definitely worth taking the time and making sure you're able to upgrade or at least update within the major version. So along the point that Simone brought up is the remote site, which, no matter what you're doing, Windows updates, Windows Server, virtualization, they're really a management challenge. When you go about thinking about how to upgrade the hypervisor, right, or vCenter if you have that remotely, we have to kind of balance that a little bit differently. So I scribbled down four things that you know, could help me do that, and one would be something like an ILO or a DRAC on the server, which, by the way, if you don't buy that on a server, it's the best couple hundred extra bucks you could ever spend. The next one would be something like, you know, local hands, somebody on site throwing in a CD for you. And then there's a couple other of approaches, too. Anybody have any experience, you know, upgrading like a major version of software remotely with no hands?
I've been too scared to do it. So.
You know, that's exactly right, because there's too much risk in being able to mess it up and not being able to back it out, right?
And a few days travel to get there to fix it up.
And do you have especially if you don't have IT people there, right?
Yeah, a lot of the small sites you don't. So. Yeah.
It would be a lot easier if you had another host, right? A plus one, right? So you could, or cross ship a new one and move everything to it. But that becomes a little bit fairy tale like, I think, sometimes. How about you, Paul? Any experience in the hands off remote upgrade?
Yeah. Look, when there's a reasonable size WAN link, of course, you can push across, you know, updates or ISOs, and then, you know, load it via DRAC card or ILO. But when you've got a skinny pipe across to your remote sites, you're having to push updates down directly to your ESX box with no ability to sort of stage it, and it can become a little bit more difficult. I know they made some enhancements in 4.1 to try to allow for incremental pushing of VIP files to remote sites. I'm not sure if Simone's had much experience trying to do that remotely, but I'm not sure that just yet VMware have got a really good product that will actually allow you to drip feed out updates to remote sites currently in their arsenal. So,
yeah, it's a good point, especially when you're talking about a site that may not have the update manager locally, may not have vCenter locally. So, yeah, it is a challenge. I better maybe poke Christian Moan on that. He's had a lot of experience doing that type of update. And you know, we're usually all not with the luxury of shipping out a new piece of kit that's got the new version on it, you know, pick everything up, move it over to the new box, and send me the old one back, right? That's the ivory tower ideal situation, but we don't always have that. Space, power, room, money, all those different limitations.
I think if VMware could put within Update Manager an ability to have a central Update Manager report out to remote site Update Managers, and drip feed out those updates, and then the other option is obviously to look at some sort of stateless ESX OS for your remote sites, and boot those. But of course, you need your requirements are Enterprise Plus then to give you that functionality.
Well, I think the takeaway to remote sites is being able to make sure you got a way out, right? You know, if it's worth saying no, you know, because you don't have everything you need to ensure success, if you can't. As a general rule, no matter what the situation is, if you can't properly equip yourself for guaranteed success, it might be better to wait. Anyone disagree with that?
Well, for me, it was just that there's no real driver to upgrade when I have a stable environment right now. Why would I? Like, what do I get from upgrading?
So you don't get any, like, eyebrow-dancing features that are pulling you in a new way, yeah?
Yeah, but I don't think the stuff that I like in VC5 doesn't apply to our smaller remote sites very much, so...
Yeah, you're right. If you have a one or two host cluster, storage DRS, like for example, isn't going to make you run to upgrade.
Yeah, everything's sick provision, and they're fairly static sites. We put our standard set of servers out there, and we don't change those. So, mm-hmm. You know, in the head office data center, you're constantly adding stuff. So storage DRS would be fantastic. But at the smaller sites, they are what they are, and there's a cookie cutter design, and we deploy that, and it doesn't really change. So there's not really been any driver for me to go and try and find a viable solution because it works as it is now.
Yeah, that's
it's probably not right, but.
Well, no, I totally understand because there's reasons to upgrade by features. There's reason to upgrade by supported configuration, but there's also I don't want to use the old adage, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But if you're not, you know, to my other point, properly equipped to ensure success, and you don't have something that needs fixing in that sense, in terms of major versions, yeah, why change? I'm with you there. All right, well, let's start wrapping up here. You know, we talked last week. You guys weren't on, but I had Mike Preston. We talked about the vCenter server appliance. Still feels kind of 1.0-ish. Okay, I like where that's going. Paul, by chance, have you dabbled with the vCSA appliance a bit?
Yeah, look, I ran it up, it's a great product. It's unfortunate it sort of scales only to 5 hosts, and you know it's really only for small environments. But I think once they expand that out and make it more of an appliance that can be used in every environment, it's going to be great. I see that VCD has been released as an appliance now.
Yep.
Both moving those appliances forward for management is definitely a good thing. So let's just hope they come out with 5.1 or whatever it's going to be, with a more full-featured appliance.
Sure. I think that I'm not alone in saying that, you know, I work with both, right? I've got environments that are on vSphere 5, environments that are on vSphere 4.1, I should say. You know, just any closing thoughts on, you know, vSphere 5, open mic, anybody got any big picture thoughts on it?
I think the storage, not necessarily DRS, but the expansion of VMFS is definitely a good thing, but something that people need to be aware of is that the full feature set doesn't get enabled by a straight upgrade, the seamless upgrade to from VMS 3 to 5, that you actually really need to reformat or recreate VMFSs to a native VMFS 5 to get all the functionality. So that's something that people maybe not be aware of, that they can just do the right-click upgrade, the vSphere VMFS, but you really want to look to actually move your VMDK files out of your VMFS and reformat so that you can enable all that functionality.
So do you move all your VMDK files off to another storage, reformat it, then move them all back and just cycle through them one by one?
Yeah, look, that's unfortunately, that is pretty much the only option to actually format the VMFS, unless you happen to have 50% or, you know, another 100% of your storage available to be used and migrate. But, you know, most people aren't going to be in that situation, so it is going to be a bit of shuffling. But, you know, there's no downtime and it can be done without, you know, without any outages. So, yeah, but that's what needs to be done to get a more native VMFS 5. So
that should be – surely that's part of the standard upgrade procedure, is it, or is that not listed?
Well, the upgrade procedure includes you can upgrade the VMFS 3 to a VMFS 5, but that doesn't enable all the functionality set. I think it's the part of the storage awareness that you don't actually get,
right,
as well as the ability to expand to 64 terabyte VMFSs that you get limited to.
Exactly, and that's specifically on the VASA feature. Is if you don't have the 1 meg block size, which in VMFS 3, it's been a best practice to format at 8. So if you upgrade, you can have an 8 meg block size VMFS 3 volume, but you lose the awareness feature. And then, of course, you're stuck to the geometry you have. But I'm with you, Paul, on reformat, or reprovision and reformat really is my approach, because chances are the storage I provision and, you know, vSphere 4 and maybe even ESX 3, that storage may not be exactly the way I'd provision it today, right? You know, so avoid any propagation of prior mistakes is the way I look at it.
Are there any other features that you don't get and that there's a little workaround like that that you're going to have to implement when you do your upgrade?
Not that I can think of. I think that's the biggest kind of caveat was the VMFS 3 upgrade is, yes, you can do it. Like if you have one data store and nowhere else to place stuff, you kind of have to. But, I can't think on anything else, any little caveats in regards to upgrade. You know, it's the same story, right? Storage is the biggest planning point of virtualization. So, I'd put most of my effort there. I will put a link in the podcast notes to the vSphere 5 upgrade guide. VMware's done a bang-up job with this document. It's 176 pages. It's really thorough. Right, so by no means is our little bar talk here about vSphere 5 going to be enough for people to just jump into it. But our goal is really to get everybody thinking about it. So I'll put a link to these notes into the podcast. And Simone, thank you again for co-hosting with me.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Paul, it's been great again. Hope to have you back sometime and hope that the new role, you know, you get caught up and the team gets up to speed. And wish you both a great new year.
Thanks, Rick. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you.